Good evening, y'all. I'm Nick Ayers. I'm the Executive Director of the Republican Governors Association. We appreciate you all coming down to Austin. Hope that you all had a good trip in. We've got a great conference ahead. This is our first day for many of our corporate members. Yesterday we met in Austin at the Four Seasons with about 100 of what we call our executive roundtable members and five of our governors in leadership. It's been a really great 48 hours, and we're going to have another great 48 hours ahead of us. The purpose of this sort of pre-gathering is we wanted to just give you all some information on our efforts in Virginia and New Jersey, our strategy this year, our tactics, which a lot of you all enjoy getting into the details of it. So we have with us three people who know a lot about our efforts and the campaign efforts. Paul Benneke is the political director at RGA. Paul and I have worked together for 9 years. He was Sonny's first political director on the '02 campaign. He was state party executive director in '06 for the reelect, and then he and I have been together at RGA for the last 3 years. To his right is Glenn Bolger, who was Bob McDonald's pollster. Many of you know Glenn Bolger. He's a partner at Public Opinion Strategies. And to his right is John Lerner. John's also an infamous pollster around Washington, D.C., a very credible guy. And he was our New Jersey pollster for RGA's independent expenditure. I'm going to kick it off with just some sort of macro-level thoughts, and then I'll turn it over to Paul, and Paul will call on the pollsters, and then we hope to end in enough time for us to do some Q&A back and forth. Mike Shrimp's going to come in, my communications director, and give me a heads up when Governor-elect Christie, Governor-elect McDonald, and Chairman Barber are ready. They're going to come in, make some comments, and then we'll do Q&A with them. So that's the structure. At the end of this, I want to tell you all something off the record and tentative, but just remind me to give you a scheduling update about tomorrow that I think you all will like very much. Couple points I want to make about the way we came into this year. We felt like we had to win one of these. The press, our donors, the press, loved writing the story about the Republican Party's obituary after last year's elections. Our donors were unenthused this year. Our grassroots were down. And we knew that if we wanted to come back as a party, we had to jumpstart it in 2009. There'd be no excuses not to win one of these races. And so that was Governor Barber's charge to us. It was his charge when he was vice chairman of the RGA in the early part of the year. He was very bullish in February at our governor's only meeting when we were laying out our budget. And he was even more bullish when he became chairman. And he made it clear that one wasn't good enough at that point. He wanted them both. He reminded us that in 1993, y'all, when he was chairman of the RNC, they won both of these. And of the more than 70 House Republican freshmen that won in 1994, 51 of them signed up to run within 2 weeks of winning Virginia and New Jersey. So it was not lost on Governor Barber the implications of how important these two races could be. And he felt like we were in a strong position to make a difference. As many of you know, I've met with Independent, talked about our four-year plan, how the RGA stopped being a year-to-year committee. We thought it was insane raising and spending all of our money every year, irrespective of the opportunity. So we came into this year with more than $14 million cash on hand. And we were really in a position where we could be extremely aggressive in trying to win both of these races without taking at the expense of opportunities in 2010. So 2 points I want to make about Virginia, and then Paul can go into more detail, and Glenn Bolger can as well. One is our early money mattered. We shouldn't forget that the DGA spent more than $3.5 million attacking Bob in the spring. The RGA offset that by going directly to McDonald's campaign and funding spring TV buy. Any campaign Paul and I have been a part of where we've had say in it, we're big fans of early TV. Define yourself before your opponent has an opportunity to, and the RGA put Bob in that position for that spring TV where he came up first. He introduced himself as a good family guy, and then he went on to talk about jobs, energy, and education. After we did that, the campaign was a theme that was about our issues for the rest of the year. It's about federal issues that were going to impact Virginia. And we credit our $2 million investment in March, which enabled Bob to spend $2 million in May and June on those TV ads. The second thing that we did is, look, you all doing your jobs, but have gotten in the habit of writing what a blowout this was, and it was. But it's lost on many of us that 3 weeks out, this was a 2 to 6 point race. 2 months out, this was a margin of error race going back and forth. The RGA launched an independent expenditure in the first week of September in every media market except for D.C., and there was a strategic reason for that, but that just devastated Deeds' image. We ran the IE for 3 weeks, two ads for 3 weeks in every media market except D.C., and Glenn will talk about the impact that had on their polling that they were seeing internally. Our plan was to bring that IE campaign to D.C. We wanted to test it in all the other markets. If it was really effective, we were going to bring it to the D.C. market. And then we got a present delivered to us. Cree Deeds had this post-debate interview, of which we were able to cut not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5 TV ads that we ran in the D.C. market for the remainder of the campaign. 10 days out, RGA felt very good about the position of our candidate, and we pulled our funding, and we won by 20 points. On New Jersey, a couple points I would make there. One, national committees in the past have been reluctant to spend a lot of money early in New Jersey. It always looks like Republicans have a chance. So all year we talk about us having a chance while the polls tighten, and then in September and October we pour millions of dollars in there only for the numbers to be going in the wrong way. And it was thanks to the wisdom, really, of Haley, who in February started telling our governors, if we want to have a chance, we got to spend early money in New Jersey. It was Haley Barbour. In April, the RGA's first direct mail pieces started hitting, very targeted individuals. And then in May, our first broadcast television ad ran. We were virtually on TV for the rest of the campaign. There were a couple weeks where Christie was at higher point levels and we were pulling the buys. We were saying we can afford to go down 4 or 5 days here. But from May through Election Day, we were basically on broadcast TV. I think it was a huge strategic call that we made that paid off in spades. It took Corzine's ability to redefine the race on his terms away from him. Normally, Corzine, with the kind of money he has, can go into a race and define his opponent before his opponent has the opportunity to, and redefine himself before his opponent can take a shot at him. And John Lerner, who was our pollster and creative director, developed a great tagline. You got to watch what he does, not what he says. Our idea was, if we take away this guy's ability to make anything stick, he won't be able to get anything to stick to Christie. And I really credit our summer advertising for making it difficult for Corzine to land a punch. The second thing that we did is we were the first people to attack Daggett. It was very controversial in the state of New Jersey when we did this. When we went up on broadcast TV, it wasn't just a Fox buy or a MSNBC buy. When we went up on broadcast TV, going after Daggett, a lot of people in the state accused us of raising his profile. They said, this guy's at 14-15%. If you attack him on broadcast TV, as you're going to do, you're going to raise his profile. He's now not going to collapse, as most independents do, and you've just cost Christie the race. Second point to blog after blog and Washington columnist after Washington columnist who really accused us of making the wrong move. We felt vindicated a day later when Christie's campaign also attacked Daggett on broadcast TV. Now, we couldn't coordinate in New Jersey. It was completely different than Virginia. So I think those two moves in Virginia, those two moves in New Jersey paid off in spades. Someone who really was behind the details of this, really is into the numbers. He's an incredible political director. And someone who doesn't talk to the press a lot is Paul Benneke. And so I'm going to turn it over to Paul to share some thoughts, and then he's going to turn it over to the pollsters.
Thanks, Nick. I usually don't talk to the press because he says everything, and he just took all my talking points from me. No, I think Virginia, focusing on that one first, Nick mentioned the early media. This was discussions that we had with Bob McDonnell in January and February, regardless of what DGA was planning on doing, not knowing when they were going to do that. We felt that he had to go up during May sweeps. It was a perfect opportunity while the Democrats were beating up on each other in that three-way primary through the second Tuesday in June for him to do that. So making that early contribution was a big step for RGA. Now, fast forward to after the primary, the first public poll that comes out, Cree Deeds is up. It was up 6 points post-primary bounce. We had a real race on our hands. This is a race going back to 2005 when these two candidates faced each other. It was a 300 margin between the two. We knew that this had the potential to be a very, very close race. Also remember that this is the same state that's elected two Democratic governors in a row, two D- Democratic U.S. senators in a row in one legislative chamber, and then also going to Barack Obama in 2008. So looking at that, we started to develop what we considered RGA's next move in an independent expenditure. If we were going to do that in Virginia, we were going to have to do it in an issue ad, which is not referring to any election or any magic words similar to federal issues. And so we were developing that, and we began negotiating with stations in all the markets outside of the D.C. area to see how competitive of a rate we could get if we decided to go independently. Now, granted, we could always give unlimited directly to Bob McDonald because Virginia law allows that to happen. But we were able to negotiate very good rates in all of the district, all the media markets. And then it was a waiting game. We said shorter calendar is our benefit. Between the DNC, between the DGA, and the unions, who all spent over $10 million, don't forget that. When you add up the RNC and the RGA, we're at roughly $11.5 million. So there's not huge parity between the national committees that went into Virginia. So knowing that you had Tim Kaine, the DNC chairman, governor of Virginia, who was going to make sure that he was going to leave it to his own party, we felt that we had to have a shorter period. So our decision, as naive was, we'll go in within 36 hours of DGA or Cree Deeds going up on television. That did not happen until the fourth week of August. For whatever reason, none of the national committees on the Democratic side nor Cree Deeds decided to go up on TV until the last week of August.
Which we couldn't believe.
Which we could not believe.
We were like every day thinking Jesus.
While this is happening, we know what our budget is. We know what the RNC is doing on the ground through the GOTV operations that they were implementing statewide. And we knew Bob McDonald was raising significant cash and banking it away. So when Cree Deeds made a decision finally go up on TV, Bob McDonald went up the same day. RGA went up within 36 hours. So now in all of the markets, besides the D.C. market, we were out performing Deeds 2-1 on TV ads. That has an impact. Obviously, Bob McDonald could be positive, while RGA, through our independent expenditure, was doing the work on the negatives. After that, and I'll let Glenn step in on those downstate markets, after 30 days of us running an IE, Cree Deeds was upside down.
Okay. A couple things. One is both Paul and Nick have touched on that, this, and that is, look, Deeds led after the demo. Quite a revelation in the back of the room, but Deeds led after the Democratic primary. And, you know, keep in mind, when Paul pointed out that Obama won Virginia, I mean, Obama won at 53 and change to 46 and change for McCain. So it wasn't just like a 51-49 really kind of purple type of situation. You're talking about a situation where the Democrats have won now a majority of the congressional districts in Virginia, the state Senate. They'd gotten close in the House of Delegates. They'd won two straight U.S. Senate races and two straight gubernatorial races. So we were definitely playing from behind. And what the early, what the September, late August, September RGA effort downstate allowed us to do was it allowed us to further define Bob McDonald on issues, because we felt like coming after 2008, people presumed Republicans were weaker on issues, Republican candidates didn't have many new ideas, and policy was something that was very important to Bob, and it was something that he spent a lot of time talking about in the campaign, and we were able to define him positively while the RGA's money was being used downstate to define Deeds as a big spender. Using his own words against him. And that was one of the things that was very effective about the RGA ads. Most of the RGA ads showed Deeds talking and indicting himself. So when Deeds tried to complain at the very end that McDonald and the RGA was running a negative campaign, people were like, wait a minute, that's using your own words. You're on tape. They didn't, you know, dummy that tape up. They didn't make anything. They didn't splice it in any tricky way. The worst problem about that post-debate gaggle was that TV is so expensive. It was roughly 60 seconds of him, dousing himself with gasoline and lighting himself on fire, and yet we could only run, or the RGA could only run a 30-second spot on it because of the cost of advertising. You know, and what it did was they defined Deeds as pro-tax increase during a recession. They defined him using his own words. They defined him as a big spender. And they also defined him through his own, you know, reaction as somebody that voters shouldn't trust because he was nothing more than an equivocating politician unwilling to say what he was wanting to do, what he was going to do. That was not a partisan message. It really worked with independents as well. Bob McDonnell won independents 64-36. Given that Obama had won independents 49-48 just a year earlier, that's a significant positive turnaround for us. So the early money that they spent defining Deeds, both downstate in the Roanoke, Richmond, and Norfolk markets, was very helpful driving up Deeds' unfavorables there. But once they went up in D.C., that's really where the dynamics of the race changed. Deeds went from a 38 favorable, 32 unfavorable image in the D.C. market to, by the time the ads were done in late October, to a 36 fave, 39 unfave. So he had a 9-point net negative shift in his image. More dramatically was the ballot. We were trailing, and it was a good score, we were trailing just 45-50 in D.C. But that's not unusual. That's, you know, Democrats used October to kind of pull away generally in Virginia, in Northern Virginia. So we were down 5 points. By the time the RGA ads came off the air, Bob McDonnell was up 49-42 in the D.C. media market. He ultimately won it 55-45. To put that in perspective, 4 years ago, when Bob won the AG's race by the 360, 320 votes, whatever it was, Bob got 46% of the vote. John McCain in 08 in the D.C. market got 42%. George Allen in his loss to Jim Webb, 44% in the D.C. market. Jerry Kilgore, 43%. So you're talking about a huge double-digit improvement in the D.C. market. And at the same time that the RGA was up with those ads, we were able to, in the campaign, be up with with positive messaging on issues and really dominate the issue agenda, control it. You know, one of the reasons Bob McDonnell won was he was seen as having a plan on issues, whereas Cree Deeds did not. In the focus groups that we were doing, one of the questions I would ask is, what is Cree Deeds saying about himself to try and get voters like you to support him? And the general reaction was, number one, blank stares, and number two, no, he's really not saying anything about himself. He's just attacking McDonnell. So the fact that we were able to kind of double-team him with both a positive message about Bob and then the RGA's negative message in D.C. really made a difference. The other thing that it did was it freed up the campaign to have more flexibility downstate to buy as much as Deeds was buying and then, you know, in the end, more. I mean, Paul touched on this. Nobody expected that we would end up outspending the campaign of the guy who was running with the White House supporting him, with the governor running the DNC, with more with the Democrats, the DGA. And with that, I'm getting the high sign to finish, so I'll turn it back to Paul for New Jersey.
Let me just finish Virginia real quick in that I am shocked that the DGA and the DNC gave us October 1st through October 21st to double down points on Cree Deeds in the Washington, D.C. market, and then they walked away. If you look at the last 10 days, Bob McDonnell had 2,000 points statewide on TV. Cree Deeds had 600. So the money just dried up after there was a double-digit lead consistently in every public poll.
New Jersey.
New Jersey was very fun as a political operative, I can tell you. Every day was a chess match. You had someone in John Corzine who was going to spend tens of millions of dollars. We don't know exactly yet how much it will end up being. I would submit that it will probably be around the $32 to $35 million mark out of his pocket in this race, on top of probably the $3 to $5 million the DGA put in, probably the $5 million that the unions put in, and probably the $3 to $4 million that the DNC put in. So they're near $50 million once we look in January at their disclosure reports, trying to get him reelected. This race was a referendum on the incumbent. just like in every other state. He had a record, and that record was the opposite of what he had promised 4 years before. And a couple points strategically. One is that we knew Chris Christie was capped $11.8 million for the general election. Think about this. He could not raise $1 for the general election until he won the nomination. So when he woke up on June 3rd as the nominee, he had $0 in the bank. He was starting from scratch. Add on top of the fact that John Corzine started his negative blitz on Chris Christie June 3rd. So there was only one option. Either RGA was going to go in and defend, or at least try to keep Corzine's record the first and most important issue, or we were going to allow Corzine the opportunity to have a one-way dialogue with the people of New Jersey and redefine himself or define Christie solely.
Saying that, let's John Lerner, we have our two governors-elect and Governor Barbara waiting, so be brief. Give us the two most important points you think they should know from your perspective, and then we're going to come back to you when Bob and Christie and Haley are done.
Okay, sure. Well, what was unusual, which has been touched upon, about the RGA effort in New Jersey was just the extent of it. There was, there were many points along the way when it looked like Chris Christie would follow the well-worn path of distinguished New Jersey Republicans like Dick Zimmer and Bob Franks and Doug Forrester and Tom Kane Jr., people who were very competitive but ended up coming short on Election Day. And it's a real credit to the RGA for sticking with this race. The two big strategic moves, which have been touched upon, but I'll amplify a little bit and maybe a little more after the governor's talk, was the decision to basically carry the message load for Christie during the time period when we knew he wasn't going to be able to do it. The Nielsen company did a study that showed that from early July through mid-September, for every one TV ad that the Christie campaign ran, the Corzine campaign ran 3.5. So they had 3.5-1 advertising advantage. But that same Nielsen study showed that the RGA ads completely made up the difference. That was a very big deal. The second portion of that was the message part of it. Our initial polling showed that, by far the biggest two issues on the minds of New Jersey voters were taxes and the economy. It also showed those were the two issues that made Governor Corzine most vulnerable. In our first survey in April, we asked respondents whether they thought the following statement was true or untrue, and the statement was, when John Corzine ran for governor, he promised to cut property taxes, reduce wasteful spending, and bring jobs to New Jersey. He has not kept those promises. At that point in April, 67% of New Jersey voters said that that was a true statement. Through our efforts, we got that up to over 70% throughout the course of the race, and the Corzine campaign was really never able to get away from that notion.